Hi, cutie, and happy Sunday. This is your bonus resource. Today, I was thinking about the moral neutrality of vices. Bear with me here. It gets a little like abstract, but I think it can have really practical applications to our day-to-day lives and our internal monologues about how we behave. Content warning for discussion of addiction and eating disorder and things of that nature if you don't want to hear about those topics. This might not be the day for this resource for you. What do I mean when I say moral neutrality of vices? Basically, it's my opinion, my stance, that there is no inherent goodness or badness to any self-regulation tool, any substance or behavior that is self-soothing. And even the language of calling it a vice is inherently saying it's the opposite of a virtue. Right? So the language itself has baked in a moral judgment. Now, it's not that some vices don't have worse consequences than others. That could be objectively true, you know? Eating cake is not the same as using heroin, right? So there are absolutely different stakes to those vices. And for some people, you know, they need to swear off a substance or behavior forever. That's how I am with bulimia. That's how my nesting partner is with alcohol and weed. Like, this is just never going to be a self-regulation tool that gives more than it takes, you know? And that's valid. So the reason that this is on my mind is because I've talked with a lot of people lately and sort of dealt with it with myself as well, is there's a shaming narrative that goes with using certain behaviors or using certain substances, right? And like, I don't think it's proper to inherently shame the use of such a thing, right? Like, I understand shaming the behavior while using to a degree. Like, if while you drink, you are an asshole to people, yeah, absolutely. Shame would be an appropriate feeling that could hopefully make you steer clear of using that vice as much. You know what I mean? But like, just the nature of drinking, I don't view as inherently a problem. So that gets me to unpacking the origins of this idea that some vices are inherently morally wrong. So as a practical example, I had, you know, have and always will have this unhealthy relationship with food. Whether I act on it or not is, you know, fluctuates day to day, but I'm grateful to not be binging and purging and doing my most extreme violent iterations of the eating disorder anymore. But in food recovery, I was taught that some foods are inherently addictive. And that along with that came that alcohol was inherently addictive and sex was inherently addictive. And so I was terrified. I was terrified of bread. I was terrified of sugar. I was terrified to drink after I left the cult that I was in. I waited a year to have sex for the first time. I waited several years to start drinking alcohol because I was convinced that if I participated in using these things, in these behaviors at all, it would lead me to death, right? So that is, I think, the natural end destination for shaming something inherently is this will destroy your life if you do this. And that's why a 21-year-old virgin was scared to try a Cosmo, you know? I thought I would die, right? So it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. But using that fear of really commonplace things, like existing in a bakery, existing in a bar, I was terrified to do those things. And in the cult, it was an effective control mechanism. And so while most people don't literally have cult experience, I think what I take away from that microcosm is how in a macro way this exists in other broader systems. Religious origins, like when they're not absolutist, they can be decent guides. You know, the Ten Commandments in Christianity, fairly decent guides for how to not be an asshole. But when they are absolutist, when they are black and white and there's no nuance, it can create like really maladaptive obsessions with these things. You know, when something is evil, when something is terrible, well, one, if you then engage in it at all, if you even think about your neighbor's wife and covet her even just mentally for a few minutes, it can lead to this obsessive spiral with being a bad person or what's wrong, I have failed, you know, this all or nothing black and white thinking that there's somehow not degrees to this, you know. But it can also drive those desires underground and kind of fan the flames. Like when bread was demonized to me, I was so controlled by it. I got so obsessed by it. The smell of bread would make me start crying. I very literally thought, I can't go near that. I'm not safe. I'm in danger.
It also had me thinking about those Pornhub analytics reports that showed, at least in America, the Bible Belt, the most conservative, socially conservative areas of America have the highest rates of consumption of porn. You know, obviously, I think porn is great, and I have no intention to shame anybody for, you know, watching it. But I think it's just interesting that if you're in an environment that really, really shames any sexuality, there can be just an uptick in your preoccupation with sexuality, right? Like if you can actively engage in it without feeling like a terrible person, then maybe it's a bit more moderate or your hunger ebbs and flows. It's not just a constant desire for what you can't have, right? And so at least that's my non-scientific hot take on that. But I think, you know, that also speaks to the relativism of the morality of these things, right? That like you don't feel the same engaging in vices depending on what environment you're in, depending on what community you're a part of, depending on what gets normalized by the people around you.
But beyond the religious origins of these things, I think that that's kind of the obvious. It's like, oh yeah, religion teaches us shame. I think there's so many capitalist origins of these things. Look at what coping mechanisms, what outlets don't get shamed. Workaholism doesn't get shamed. Exercise addiction, being an adrenaline junkie. These are ways to cope, to vent, to run away from something, to self-regulate, and they do not get shamed. In fact, they often get praised because it serves the system. Versus someone who's sleeping a lot, plays a lot of video games, anything that does not get associated with productivity, with earning money, that does get shamed, right? And I view all of the things I've listed as valid ways to blow off steam or cope with something that's hard to cope with, you know? And if somebody at an individual level takes any of those vices to a self-harming degree or harms other people with it, yeah, absolutely. That individual might need to assess their relationship with that. So many people are resting when they're depressed. They are eating more during winter. Like there's a lot of non-life-threatening, lower-stakes engagement with these vices that people spiral and shame themselves so much for. And I'll include myself in that. You know, I think it will be an ongoing, maybe lifelong process of uncoupling the relationship with sugar and being a bad person. That there's still that voice saying, this is not giving me nutrients. This is only giving me calories. Therefore, it is not a productive food to eat. Therefore, I shouldn't be eating it, right? You know, and so as I continue to unpack the origins of shame, it started with like, I would just like to desire sex more because I know I want it. I'm just scared. That therapeutic work has turned into, you know, why do I feel shame around my relationship with exercise? Why do I feel shame around my relationship to rest and pleasure in any form? And as I continue to unpack that and sort of pinpoint the origins of who gave me this, it's empowering. It's empowering to start to parse that and to start to assign my own morals and my own convictions, which is, in my case, incredible moral relativism.
I think it's all relative. I think it always depends. You know, there are always factors that might say something is just or unjust or harmful or not harmful. Again, if you don't like the consequences of a vice, or if the risk is way greater than the relief that it offers, that is valid. Reassess your relationship with that thing. Maybe you don't do that thing anymore, you know? But if you are like me and you have self-shaming thoughts, just inquire further. Who gave me this? Who benefits from me feeling this way? Who makes money off of that? In the spirit of in engaging with self-soothing, I've been resting and sleeping a lot after a really emotionally tumultuous few weeks. And I am grateful to like kind of not feel bad about it. And you all have been so beautiful and helpful in reinforcing that it's valid to rest. It's fine. I don't need to earn rest. I don't need to deserve rest. Like, just rest. Just rest. And that is really great. And you're really great. And I love you. And I'm wishing you all the best as 2022 gets started. See you next week.